The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 1, text number 2. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on September 28th, 2011. In Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sanjaya Uvacha.
Drishtvatu
Pandavanikam Vyudam Duryodhanashtada Acharyam Upasangamya Rajavachanam Abravit Sanjaya Uvacha Drishtvatu Pandavanikam Vyudam Duryodhanastada Acharyam Upasangamya Rajavachanam Abravit Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya said, Drishtva, after seeing,
two,
but
no.
Pandava-anikam,
Pandava-anikam,
the soldiers of the
Pandavas,
Vyudham,
arranged in a military phalanx,
Duryodhana, King Duryodhana, Tada!
At that time,
Acharyam,
the teacher,
Upasangamya,
approaching,
Raja,
the king.
Vachanam,
words,
Abravit,
spoke.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sanjaya said, O King, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. Purport. Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision. He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion, and he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas, who were all pious since birth. Still, he was doubtful about the influence of the place of pilgrimage, and Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking about the situation on the battlefield. Sanjaya wanted, therefore, to encourage the despondent king and thus assured him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influence of the holy place. Sanjaya therefore informed the king that his son Duryodhana, after seeing the military force of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief of Dronacharya to inform him of the real position. although Duryodhana is mentioned as the king, he still had to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation. He was therefore quite fit to be a politician. But Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas. So I wanted to speak about the veneer that could not disguise the fear. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Panakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So just as the Duryodhana had the diplomatic veneer, similarly the materialistic society has the sense gratification veneer. People are wearing the mask of sense gratification. They have a big smile on their face. Their mask is in. As they try to enjoy their sense gratification. That mask is, I can enjoy, I can enjoy, I can enjoy. I can enjoy this material world. They all walk around with this mask on, and I can enjoy this material world. But this mask will not free them from the fear of death. Just as Duryodhana could not be easily freed from the fear of seeing the military arrangement of the Pandavas. There's only one thing that can free you from fear of death, and that is Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada's name given by his father, Bhaichara. One who becomes fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. I don't know about here in Estonia, but in the US there's a famous saying, it's called no fear. They put a little bumper sticker on their car, it says no fear. But that's artificial. You can't say, I'm not afraid of anything. You can say it, but that doesn't make it the reality. If you want to actually become fearless, you must take shelter of the Lord. Otherwise, you must be full of fear. Do you know what is the purpose of material sense gratification? They're simply trying to forget their fear, that's all. By sex pleasure, by intoxication, by all that sense gratification, it's simply trying to forget the fear of death, that's all. Do you know what Hitler did with his followers down in the bunker when all the forces were closing in on Berlin? When the Third Reich was finished, they were all going to be, they knew it was all over. They had a big orgy. The indulgent sexual orgy.
Is it?
To try to forget the fear of death. But did it work? Did it free him from anxiety? No. Why? Because the fear of death comes from bodily misidentification. If I think that I'm this body, I must be very frightened by death. Because death threatens my existence. But one who is Krishna conscious, who is living on the transcendental platform, death is an exciting adventure. Prabhu, today you're getting promoted. You're getting a new service. You're promoted a new department. It's like you're working in some company or slaving away in a department. And the supervisor says, "We just been promoted. You got a new position with better pay, better facilities." You go, "Wow, that's great. When do I start?" I remember that happened to me. I got promoted one time in the company. It was so great. I had a horrible job. I had to work from 11 at night till 7 in the morning every day. And I hated it, but what could I do? I needed some income, you know. So then I got promoted. I got a daytime job with higher pay, with a better job. I was so happy to get promoted, you see. So for a devotee, death is promotion. You're getting promoted. It's a cause for great celebration. It's not at all something to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to. Because the devotee knows I'm an eternal spiritual being. I have nothing to do for all of eternity except to serve Krishna. And as I continue to serve Krishna, He'll give me better and better facilities.
That's all.
He'll give me a better material body or He'll give me a spiritual body. I have nothing to lose from death. I have everything to gain from death. Just like sometimes devotees transfer from one ISKCON temple to another, you see. Well, I've been serving at ISKCON New York and now I will transfer to ISKCON Los Angeles. So, we have another ISKCON in Goloka Vrindavan. Many ISKCON devotees have already gone to establish our ISKCON center then. Prabhupada said that. He said, we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada will be there. All the ISKCON devotees who have gone back together, they'll be there. It'll be a great ISKCON program going on there in Goloka. So for devotee, death is, wow, this is great. I get to meet Prabhupada and, oh, this is going to be really great. Looking forward to this. Just imagine being able to see Prabhupada and touch his lotus feet, take the dust from his head on your feet and ask him a question and have Prabhupada give you a smiling glance. Just imagine, wow. So devotee's not afraid of them. Devotee, Prabhupada explains, from the very moment of initiation, the devotee becomes deathless. He achieves immortality. So, this is the great blessing of Prabhupada Panas. He is giving us deathlessness. Amara. No death, you see. And you can't get deathlessness by any amount of austerities in this world. Just look at that Hiranyakashipu. He underwent great penances and austerities. He stood on his tiptoes for 125 years, can you imagine? I think it was demigod years. Was it demigod years? Anyone read that canto lately? It was a long time he stood on his tiptoe. What austerities he did to get material power. His body was completely enveloped in an anthill. They ate all of his flesh. And he didn't move. He just stood there and let the ants eat his flesh. They even ate his eyes. And he stood there and took it. He was so powerful in his austerity, he maintained his life air simply within the skeleton. He wasn't dead. All of his organs were eaten. His heart was gone, his liver, his pancreas, his large intestine, his small intestine, everything was finished. All of this was the bones. But he was so powerful, he was maintaining his life air simply in the bones. And he was causing such a disturbance to the whole universe that Brahmaji came to see what's going on here. And he asked for deathlessness. Brahmaji said, what can I do? I myself must die. How I can give you immortality? So even the greatest materialistic person like Hiranyakashipu, he cannot become immortal by any material power. The biggest brain of the modern day society, Albert Einstein, he could not become deathless by his mental power, his brain power. The wealthy billionaires of this world, like Bill Gates or Steven Jobs, they cannot become immortal by their money. Everyone is dragged to the court of Yamaraj. Are you ready for death? We had an experience, one of our life members in San Diego. He was a dedicated member of the temple, a congregation member. But he was into Lord Shiva more than Krishna. He was more dedicated to Lord Shiva than Krishna. So something happened, he became very, very sick, he went into a coma and was in the hospital. He would go into the coma, he'd come out of the coma, he was on the verge of death for a long time. And when he came out of the coma, he became very dedicated to Lord Krishna. And he told the temple president what happened. He said, the Yamadutas, they came to take me. And then every time I mentioned Krishna, they They didn't take me. As soon as I mentioned Krishna, they didn't take me. Again and again, they came to take me away. And every time I mentioned Krishna, they didn't touch me. So he came back and said, Bhadri, what? You wouldn't believe what happened. I'm very devoted to Krishna. So Krishna consciousness will save you from the Yamadutas. The time of death is not a pretty experience for those who are sinful. The Yamadutas will come and they will rope you with the subtle ropes around your subtle body, and they will rip you out of your gross body. And they will take you to Yamaraj for punishment. Along the way, the hounds of hell will be barking at you and biting you, just on the way to the court. So it's a very, very frightening experience to go to Yamaraj for you to be punished for your sin. But one who is Krishna conscious, they will not see the Yamadutas. They will see the Vishnudutas. Or there must be some Rajgadutas also. We haven't written in the scripture, but there must be, for those who go to Rajadam, there must be some very special arrangement. So, we should become Krishna conscious. And that way we become fearless. Devotee has nothing to be afraid of then. For him, death is a wonderful, wonderful moment of liberation from an old body. This material sense gratification, it may appear to be very nice. It gives some quick, instant sensation of happiness. I can light a cigarette and it may taste very nice. I can drink some alcohol, it may taste very nice. I can have some sex, it may feel very good. But how long does that pleasure last? It goes away very quickly. And then you feel miserable. And then you're looking for another sense gratification to again make you feel good again. But the more you engage in sense gratification, the more and more miserable you become. Why? Because you're becoming more and more removed from your actual identity. The more you indulge in sense gratification, you're going into deeper, darker ignorance. So that's why we advise, give up your sense gratification. If you can't give it up all at once, then give it up gradually at least. Prabhupada advised somebody who was smoking cigarettes. Smoke every day, smoke one cigarette less than you smoked the day before. It's like, how many is in the pack? 20 cigarettes? I don't know. I think there's 20 cigarettes in the pack. So, the first day you smoke only 19, and then that gradually you go down to 18, 17, 16. And that way, within 3 weeks, you'll be completely free from cigarettes. So if one can't immediately give up one's bad habits, you can give them up gradually in a very systematic way. Instead of smoking a cigarette, chant a round of japa. You see, in other words, the tongue wants some engagement. So instead of giving it cigarette, give it Hare Krishna. Smoke Hare Krishna. A Hare Krishna aret. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, in this way, replace all your bad habits with Krishna consciousness. Whatever you like to do, do it in Krishna consciousness. If you like to sing and dance in the kirtan. This is the number one hit in all of eternity. Why sing some obscure song that will soon be forgotten? Why not sing the number one hit for all of eternity? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the number one hit. In all the three worlds, that is the number one hit. Why sing some stupid song when you can sing the number one hit song? So, take to Krishna consciousness. Join the family of the living people. Why do you want to remain a family member of the dead people? It is confirmed by Lord Jesus. I go too fast, I'm sorry. I got to slow down. It is confirmed by Lord Jesus in the Bible that the non-devotees are dead people. One man, he came, he wanted to join the Jesus movement. And he said, I would like to surrender to you, Lord Jesus, but first I have to go bury my dead relative. So Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. You stay here, just let the dead do them. You don't need to do them. So those who are not spiritually awakened, they are the dead people. So you want to be dead? Or do you want to be alive? It's your choice. Krishna consciousness means life. No, Krishna consciousness means death. So you can choose whether you want to be alive or dead. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah. Can you help me to understand?
How to distinguish between devotee and not devotee? What is different between devotee?
What's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee?
And can
there be a strict line?
It is some strict line between.
Yeah. Prabhupada told us there's a very clear distinction. He said you're either a demon or you're a devotee. He made a very clear distinction. A devotee means someone whose every thought, word, and deed is for the pleasure of the Lord in all times, places, and circumstances. He's got it.
Тело, ум, речь посвящены полностью при всех условиях и любое время служению Кришне.
Pleasing God is His purpose. Everything He does is for the pleasure of God. Just like if you love someone, someone is very dear to you. You do everything to please them. The best example in this world is a mother. She makes all sacrifice to take care of her baby child. So a devotee is someone who's like a mother. Everything they do is for God's pleasure. You don't become a devotee just by, you know, on the lips, or by putting tilak on your forehead, or by putting neck beads on. That's not how you become a devotee. You become a devotee by being totally dedicated to pleasing God at every minute of your life. The non-devotee thinks that they are the center of the universe. That they think that everything should be for their pleasure. So we just have to, that's the clear distinction. A devotee is one who does everything for God's pleasure. The non-devotee does everything for their own pleasure. That's the difference. Someone may think, well, if you do everything for God's pleasure, then how you can be happy? But God is compared to the stomach, and we are compared to the hand. If you just try to, the hand tries to enjoy separately and cannot digest the food. But when the hand feeds the stomach, when the individual self serves God, then the individual self becomes satisfied, God is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. So the devotee means that person who has mastered the art known as universal love. That's a devotee. That person who has mastered the art of universal love, he is the devotee. So if we are intelligent, we will find out such a person who is living on the platform of universal love. We will take shelter of such a person. We will accept him as our spiritual master. So that we can learn also how to live on this platform of universal love. I found such a person. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Bhumapad. So I'm trying my best to become completely sold out disciple. Trying my best. And if you will also try your best to be a devotee of the Lord, Krishna will bless you. He'll perform miracles for you. You just have to have your faith in Him, that's all. Any other questions? Yeah.
You said that someone who is gratifying his senses, he is demon, and someone who is trying.
Someone who is what?
gratifies his sense.
Yes, sense gratifying. Okay.
And someone who is trying to give pleasure to Krishna, he is devotee.
Yeah.
And what about such people who is in between? Sometimes Krishna, sometimes
senses. What about somebody who is like a yo-yo, going back and, you know... Today I'm devoted to Krishna. Tomorrow I'm devoted to Maya. Day after that I'm devoted to Krishna. They are called Kanishta devotees. They are not pure in their devotion. They're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So actually they are non-devotees. But to encourage them, we call them Kanishta devotees. They're actually non-devotees. Until you're completely devoted to God, you're still a selfish rascal. But we don't want you to be too discouraged. So we call you a Kanishta Adhikari. Third class devotee. So, but even someone who becomes a second class devotee, you see, I know I have these material desires, but now I'm very dedicated to giving them up. Even before you come to the first class platform, if you become completely dedicated to purifying your life, then now you're called a Madhyamadhikari. Sometimes we use this term Madhyamadhikari too lightly in our society. Prabhupada explains a Madhyamadhikari can never fall down. The Uttama, the topmost devotee, first class, and even the second class Madhyam, neither can fall down. The only class that can fall down is the third class devotee, the Kanishta Adhikari. So we should try to become solidly situated on this Madhyam Adhikari platform. We should fully surrender to the Supreme Lord. We should make friends with the devotees of Krishna. We should give Krishna consciousness to the innocent people. And we should avoid the blasphemers. In this way we can become solidly situated as Madhyam Adhikaris. And then from that platform we can go on and become Uttam Adhikaris. Does that answer your question? Okay. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. Philosophy question?
Yeah. No question, it's a speculation.
Speculation?
Speculation?
Yeah.
Any questions? So it doesn't qualify for the question. Okay, yeah, question?
I have a question regarding Sanjaya.
Yes?
Regarding Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra is asking him the question, although he knows that there will be a defeat on his son's side. So why does Sanjaya is giving him words of encouragement and not telling him the truth that he should?
Why Sanjaya is giving words of encouragement to Dhritarashtra? Why would he not do that? He's a servant of the king. Why would he not do that? How do you know he knew?
It's mentioned there.
Where does it say?
Understood the
motive of Dhritarashtra. What does it say Sanjaya knew what would be the outcome? I don't see it in the purport. Show me.
Because Sanjaya was the disciple of Vyasadeva.
Yeah.
And he could see what is happening on the whole on the holy land, place of pilgrimage.
But how do you know he wasn't just seeing it as it was happening?
To encourage the despondent king and thus assured him that, his sons were going to make all any sorts and they were not going to compromise. But he is encouraging them that they were very...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... I don't fully understand your question. Could he foresee the end of the battle? You're asking, could he foresee the end result of the battle at this point? Whatever he may be, but are you asking, could he? You're thinking he could foresee the end of the battle at this point? Is that what you're thinking? Well, this can be researched because I don't see anything here that said Sanjaya knew what was the end, the ultimate end of the battle. I don't see that mentioned here. We knew he had some telepathic CNN power. That he could report what was happening there. But I don't recall where it stated that he could see what was going to happen in the end of the battle. The end of the 18 days. I don't see that mentioned. I don't recall having seen that mentioned. So are there any other questions? Yes.
The Yamaraj is... like I know, he's very beautiful and he is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna.
Yamaraj.
Yamadutas, who are so ugly, and are they the same pure devotees for Krishna?
So the question is that the Yamaraj is very wonderful, he's one of the Mahajanas, etc., etc. His followers, they're pretty grotesque looking characters. Are they also pure devotees? That's the question. No, they're not. Their good fortune is they are serving a pure devotee. But they are not pure devotees. That's why when the Vishnudutas came to rescue Ajamil, they couldn't understand what was going on. It didn't make sense to them. They were pure devotees. They would know, oh yes, he chanted Narayan, therefore that's why. But they couldn't understand how just by saying Narayan, he would be freed from their arrest. They couldn't, didn't make any sense to them at all. They were bewildered by it. And that's the proof that they were not pure devotees. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied, then all questions have been asked. Okay.
Do we need to fear something, for example, Vaishnava Parata? Or we must be completely fearless?
Do we...
Should we be completely fearless or should we be fearful of Vaishnava Parata?
Oh, yes. Do we need to be completely fearless or we should be fearful of Vaishnava Parata? Actually, we should be scared to death of Vaishnava
Parada.
The more you are afraid of Vaishnava Parada, the more you become fearless. That is called transcendental fear. So the devotee is very, very frightened of Vaishnava
Parada.
The more, that means he's worshipping the Vaishnavas within his heart. And the more you worship the Vaishnavas, the more you become recognized by Krishna. So therefore everybody should be very, very, very frightened of Vaishnava Parama. Any other question? Yes.
Someone can say that Kanishta Adhikari is not devotee, so we should not be afraid to offend him.
Someone can say that Kanishta is not a devotee, so I can abuse him. But you fail to forget that there's even what's known as Jiva Aparad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taught us this principle, Jiva Aparad. If you're offensive to any living entity, that is against bhakti principles. Don't you know the story of Mrigari the hunter? He was not prepared to even disturb a little ant. What to speak of a human being, even an ant should not be offended. And besides that, every single jiva, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Jivera Svarupahai Krishnara Nityadav. Every single jiva soul throughout the total existence is a pure devotee of Krishna. Simply their devotion is covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy. Everywhere, everyone is actually a pure devotee. So you must respect everyone according to their position. I don't recommend you offer your obeisances to a tiger. Respect him from a distance. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your attending this class on the Bhagavad Gita. Kindly take these instructions we have given to you coming from the Parampara and embrace these instructions as your life and soul. If you do so, we guarantee you that you will be ecstatic 24 hours a day, and at the time of death you'll be completely fearless. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. His divine grace Srila Prabhupada, savior of the whole universe, ki jai.
Grace Shankar Shandasadikari ki.